Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered. It's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
Carl returns in 2027, sports fans. It is Dukes and Bell guys live from Gustin's here in Ackworth. What a scene, man. We got a bunch of folks already at the bar. Bar was packed when we rolled in. My kind of people, either pretending to work or they're all rich and semi-retired. It's our kind of bar. Abe Gordon is filling in today. We start every hour of every show with a big hearty,
hey, man.
Tinker is here. Met our new friend Mark over there. Joe Boo is here. My boy Ken Marshall, one of the best DJs in town. And he throws our tailgates back in the day. And Ken's like, I've got photos of Mike in Georgia gear. I go, guess what? If Florida State stays like this, you'll have more pictures of me in Georgia gear. We're hanging out here. Going to be here till 4. It's a quickie, as Teddy KGB would say. Like a young man coming in for a quickie. We're 2 to 4, and then it's the Wade Ford tailgate show, and then Falcons, because we're in action tonight. It's Amazon, Thursday Night Football. Don't forget, guys, just pause the TV on Amazon, on your smart TV, and sync up Arch and Wes on 92.9 The Game, and then your ears won't bleed, and you're good to go.
Yeah, you got the Odyssey app. You'll be all set to go. I use my smart speaker when
right
I do that.
I'm
at home, and I do the smart speaker.
That's
bit,
the
yeah.
way to do it. So we're going to talk all about the Falcons, get you ready. Some strange stuff happened yesterday on social media. Mick from Down Under's just waddled in. Here he is. So everybody's, we got a whole crew out here, man. Miller Lite's here with tons of goodies. We got koozies and swag, and we got those great Miller Lite winter hats with the beanie, you know, with the pom-pom on top, so get on that. We'll talk plenty of Falcons, but the Braves making news. There were a couple of things right after we got off the air and more today. Let's start chronologically. Mike Yastrzemski, grandson of Carl Yastrzemski, some good years with the Giants. The bat has kind of tailed off, Abe. What's your first analysis of that? Is that just to give Ronald a chance to DH? What's this about?
Yeah, I think it solves or sets up to be a puzzle piece for a lot of different factors. Obviously, Sean Murphy's still coming back from injury. If he's not able to help in the DH from the catcher's platoon to where you can DH, Baldwin, it gives you an extra opportunity to maybe put either Profar in DH or Acuna in DH, upgrade the defense from that perspective. It just kind of solves all a little bit. If Ronald needs a day off, Profar needs a day off, and so it's not that expensive, right? It's not a cheap move, but it's not a high-priced bat either. It just It's a nice little puzzle piece, and from what I hear, he's pretty good in the clubhouse as well.
Yeah, man, I think you and I were looking at the numbers earlier today on our pre-show. You can always catch that on Twitch and YouTube. We do what it's called Behind the Curtain. Day-Day jumps on along with Oren most days, and usually Carl. Carl will be back, by the way, Tuesday, guys. We're just screwing around. Now, many of you guys are very literal. He's not off until 2027. Carl back from the big vacay on Tuesday. But, yeah, the move, it's not a deal. It's not like a big money deal. The Braves don't do big money deals. It's about, what, $9 million this year, 7 or 10, and then there's another option for the team in 28 for 3, I think it was three or four, $5 million, whatever it is. So there you go. You got Yastrzemski. The big one today, though, and you and I were debating how he gets used.
Yeah.
Why doesn't Robert Suarez, who had 40 saves for the Padres, just check right in as our closer for 26, and then Iglesias is a setup man?
Yeah, I mean, look, everything we've read, everything we've seen is that Suarez is going to come in as a setup man.
What? No. Suarez is the closer.
No, I don't think so.
Iglesias is the setup man.
As far
what do
as
I stutter?
Seeing,
no, no, Suarez is the closer.
I wouldn't be surprised if at some point they flip, right? I think we all were.
When he goes through one of his, like, 7 of 8 blown saves type
right.
deals?
Right. I would say we were all relatively pleased with Iglesias down the stretch, but there's still a nerve factor, and I think it also could be a situation where I like the idea of giving Iglesias a couple more days.
No,
off.
No,
yes,
no.
It's got to happen.
No. 98 miles an hour is what this guy brings consistently at age 34. And I'm sick and tired of, like, the off-speed stuff. I want heat. That bullpen door opens, pow, comes out throwing bullets, man.
Was an all-star last year, 2.97 ERA in 70 appearances, a 2.91 ERA over a four-year career with the Padres.
98.6.
Mike, I don't disagree, but it's this weird bit where you can't replace the incumbent, right?
All right, timeout. Walt Weiss hasn't even managed a game, and the Braves are already aggravating me. You got to be kidding. It's not even Christmas, and you've already got me pulling my hair out. However, a guy who's a better closer is not going to be used as the closer. Come on.
I don't know what to tell you, Mike.
All right.
Look, I agree with you, by the way.
All right.
Like, I would make this switch. I think Suarez has proven beyond a shadow of a doubt that he is a legitimate closer. And again, not that Iglesias is not, but how many times over the past 2 years have you and Carl sat here and talked about how aggravating it is that a 3-run game turns into order? He got the save. I get it.
Yeah, but he also gave
night
up a leadoff home
night
run.
Night
right.
after night, right. and we're trying to detail how he pitches and why this works and that works. Be nice to just have a guy just go out 1-2-3, stand him up, sit him down, game over.
And that's what, to me, Suarez is.
Right.
And again, by any metric before the baseball nerds start hitting us up on the text line, I get it. By all the measurables, Iglesias was a better than serviceable reliever. He had good numbers. But this guy, in my mind's eye, is the kind of player you want coming out of the pen when the game's on the line. Not nickel and diamond with off-speed stuff. I want a guy throwing bullets. We'll see how Walt Weiss feels about that. Dukes and Bell with Abe filling in for Carl. This hour of the show brought to you by Wise Guys Pro Wash. Hey, if you haven't put your Christmas lights up, let these guys do it. Let Wise Guys lights brighten your holidays this year. We'll talk plenty of Falcons. The other story today, and it just gets crazier and crazier, and we've got a good friend of ours, Dave Ashburn, who came to us from Detroit. Bad look for Michigan. Say what you want, man, and I'll just say it right now. We're supposed to be football factories and win at all costs down here in the South, and the SEC doesn't have any priorities straight. Well, let me tell you something. We don't do what Penn State did because that was just beyond the pale. We don't do what Michigan does. We don't have guys dressed up as other coaches and other staff stealing signs, and we don't have any of that malfeasance that, again, Sherrone Moore has been accused of. Just all allegations right now. But everything that's come out subsequently from Michigan dropping him yesterday gets even worse. Allegedly has a verbal altercation with his wife, drives to his alleged girlfriend's home, threatens to kill himself. Police get involved.
What's fascinating to me about this is Michigan does present this holier-than-thou situation.
Yes!
Now, look, I know the SEC feels one way about what goes down on the field, right? We feel, in the SEC, we're the better football conference. They feel like they're better people. They feel like they're better
gentlemen.
They're
snobs. They're
elitists. About being a Michigan man, and that sets you apart, right?
Correct.
And then you see what goes down, and it kind of brings you back to earth, and certainly the administration there had no other choice, and it's not a good look at all.
The same thing that applies to Notre Dame applies to Michigan.
That's right.
Snobs, elitists.
Yeah, yeah,
say
yeah.
what you want about Ohio State. They may aggravate you, but they don't claim to be smarter than you.
No, they don't portray themselves.
They're just here to have a beer. And
a different breed of human.
Right.
They
No, I told you. I went up to Michigan in 91. I told Day-Day the story a couple months ago. It was Florida State. I want to say it was like I want to say it was Leroy Butler. I want to say that was the big corner. Anyway, Elvis Gerback was a quarterback. I'm in my FSU gear. Michigan fans, you're going to get a taste of Big Ten football today. FSU drops 50 on them. It was like down by 4 touchdowns at half. They're all leaving. I'm like, when does this Big Ten football start? Now, that was before they came down and started pillaging South and Southern talent. Back then, it was a different dynamic, and there was more physical nature to Big Ten. But either way, I'm with Abe. They don't make it easy to root for them, especially with all the nonsense. This is just, look, this story goes on as long as history. It starts with a P and ends with a Y, is undefeated. And this guy got caught up in it. It's such a frigging cliche to be allegedly stooping an assistant. You know, how is this not going to get out there in a small town like Ann Arbor?
Well, and what's interesting, too, is it looks like they had been investigating and found nothing, and then most recently they found one more accusation and it uncovered all this. The other thing unrelated to football is this is a massive distraction from what looks like could be a national championship basketball team. They are absolutely outclassing everyone they step onto the court.
I think by the time it gets to March Madness, if that
no, I yeah. agree. But right now,
that won't have any bearing.
You would like to be able to focus on a team that's 12-0 or whatever they are, on a team that's blowing out opponents by 20 points, ranked number 2 in the nation. It gets completely overshadowed in this moment.
Can I just give a shout out to one of the best ladies in the beverage industry who just brought us 4 ice cold Miller Lights? Thank you very much. Outstanding. That's leadership right there in the promotions department. We're going to be here till 4, so come on down and join us at Gustin's. I just looked at the traffic. Might be here till 8. So hang on. I mean, show will be into – by the time the Falcons kick that, I think maybe it's time to head down 285 way. So come on down and join us at Gustin's right off of 41 in Acworth. Already got a great crowd hanging out here at the bar. Friday, guys, tomorrow morning, join the morning shift. They're going to be at the Publix on Haines Bridge Road in Alpharetta. That's Allie, Mike, and Bo. I'm the meat man. Oh, Bo's going to be salty. He just gets off the Falcon plane at like 3:30 and then heads over to do the show. They're going to be out there. Feed Your Fandom at Publix. Morning shift, 6 to 9. That's Publix on Haines Bridge Road in Alpharetta with the morning shift at 92.9, the game. All right, man. Falcons, what's your gut tell you tonight? Bucks coming off a tough loss and a short turnaround. Mike Evans, the future Hall of Famer, is activated. Drake's not playing.
Yep.
Dorlas is banged up. Looks like Jalen Walker's a little banged up right now. So what do you think?
Yeah,
for only a 4.5-point dog this morning.
And their Jalen McMillan gets back, too. And the Bucks for a while, were talked about as one of the top teams in the NFC, and Baker Mayfield was looked at as kind of a dark horse MVP candidate. It's fallen off for them. A lot of that, unlike how we feel here in making excuses, a lot of that I do think you can point to injuries for Tampa. They're starting to get healthier in that wide receiving core. They're going to be at home. We don't do well with Vita Vea, so running the ball is going to be difficult anyways.
Tough day, sort of cut you off with our center. And we had Matthew Bergeron on the show yesterday, one of our favorite Falcons. He can help a little bit, but Ryan Neuzel, he basically gets the giant creamsicle Kool-Aid man as the Bucks are in throwbacks tonight. We'll be in the throwbacks, red lids with the black jerseys, it looks like, for Thursday Night Football.
Yeah, to answer your question more directly, Mike, I don't feel good about today at all.
Why are we just a 4.5-point dog? Is that number moved? Let's Day-Day will get on it. Because, look, I'd never tell you to bet against the Falcons, but if you need to make your mortgage payment, the Bucks seem pretty good tonight.
Yeah. They're fighting. We talk about this Falcons team trying to fight. The Bucks are now finding themselves legitimately in a fight for the NFC South, a division where I still think they're the best team. And so,
to me,
I view that as they're ready to fight. Are you ready to match them? I find it tough to
believe. Day-Day, the brains of the operation, what we got?
Well, no, I was just going to say maybe it has to do with the fact that, you know, they are looking at the fact that the Bucks did lose to the Saints last week.
They've lost 4 or 5.
Remember, guys, the line is just to protect the house and get even money for
That's
Vegas.
Right.
And so some folks see Bucks as damaged goods, although, to your point, they're getting healthier. All right, man, we're hanging out at Gustin's. Free Miller Lite stuff. Cool swag. Here till 4. We'll come back. Abe will try to make sense of all these cryptic tweets we got in the Falcons wide receiver room yesterday. Has Raheem Morris lost the script and lost some of the team? We'll talk about it next.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. You know, one of the perks about having four kids that you know about is actually getting a direct line to the big man up north. Mm-hmm. And this year, he wants you to know the best gift that you can give someone is the gift of Mint Mobile's unlimited wireless for $15 a month. Now, you don't even need to wrap it. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Gustin's guys in Ackworth. Great crowd. So many friends making some new friends. Met the crew. We're just kind of going through. I said, what do you do for a living? Guy goes, I sell toilet paper. I go, well, that's recession proof. What? You know what, Abe? You don't work for a living. These guys get it. But anyway, some good dudes over here join the Miller Lights. Abe is in for Carl today, Day-Day, and our man G Money is. We're hanging out till 4, and then it's the Wade Ford tailgate. As part of our daily download brought to you by Akins Ford, check out the year-end sales at AkinsFord.com. We were just talking about whatever that weirdness was. And Abe, just as I said, it's hard for a Falcon fan because so many people, and you shouldn't live on it, but people use social media to kind of get a vibe or see what's going on with the team. And when Ray McCloud first posts, it's not, you know, performance-based,
yeah.
He just got cut by the Giants. We cut him earlier this year. We were under the impression it was partly disciplinary, but they never told us. They said it was performance-based. Ike Hilliard gets fired. Our wide receiver and passing game coordinator got fired after the blowout loss to Carolina. And we said, wow, what's what happened there? Guys around the organization say, you don't know what happened. But no one will then tell me what happened. Either way, he got. Ray gets cut. And so there's some video, there's some tweets about that. Then we get more stuff with Kadarrell Hodge. And Kadarrell Hodge got disciplined. He got benched as a healthy scratch. Pro Bowl special teamer who also plays wide receiver. Caught the game-winning score against the Bucks that Thursday night game last year at Mercedes-Benz. So all of a sudden he posts something. Somebody goes, we didn't forget how to play. And the other guys signing off on it, which has Falcon fans going,
right.
What's with these cryptic messages? Is this some kind of a shot at the coaching staff? What's going on?
Well, look, let me first agree with Ray McCloud. I don't think it was performance-based. I think there's something else going on with him. It obviously forced him out here in Atlanta and obviously didn't allow him to catch on with the Giants either. And so I do agree it's not performance-based, but until we know exactly why the decision was made, what went on behind the scenes that led to the divorce between Ray McCloud and the Atlanta Falcons, there's not a ton we can say. In regards to Kadarrell Hodge, and I know they happened on the same day, a couple hours apart. I take them as two separate incidents, right? Ray McCloud's doing his thing. He's frustrated. He just got dropped again for the second time this season. Kadarrell Hodge is frustrated but still with the team. And I actually kind of share the sentiment of Kadarrell Hodge. This is a guy I feel like can make plays, has made plays not that too long ago for this team.
Right.
And in a position room, that receiver, where we are desperate to find anyone that can do anything outside of Drake London, why is Kadarius Hodge not getting the opportunity? You say he's got a healthy scratch. I know he showed up on the injury report with some sort of shoulder issue now.
Right.
I wanted to see this guy because we're running out guys, and with respect to their abilities, we're running out guys like David Sills. And I know Casey Washington's been banged up, and you threw Dylan Drummond out there. Maybe we see Chris Blair. We're throwing out all sorts of Joe Bobs. And so why right. not use a guy that has made plays for you within the past calendar year in Kadarius Hodge? I don't get it either. So he's right to be frustrated, because as a Falcons fan who watches the team, knowing no one outside of Drake London is making any catches, why are we not seeing this guy?
And that's the thing. And that's why, you know, I was debating this, you know, yesterday with Mike. And thanks to Mike Johnson for filling in the last two
Johnson.
Days for Carl. And, you know, I said, whatever this means, I think Falcon fans can look to your point and say, you've got guys that have proven they can do some things for you to help you. And Robert, and David Sills, you know, he caught a touchdown pass against the Jets, but he's too inconsistent. We've got other guys that have shown you, and Ray was a guy that had his best year as a pro. Now, look, is Ray nuts? I don't know. You don't room 53 guys in a locker room. You can be right as rain to off in, you know, a wackadoodle. As long as you do your job on Sunday, I don't care. You know, and he got into it with the coach. They won't cop to it. He got, and they say it's performance-based. And to Abe's point, you could use a guy like Ray McCloud right now, and a guy like Kadarius Hodge. Whatever he did, all of special teams stinks. It's so bad that our one pro bowler couldn't do his job. So if it was performance-based, that's why they benched him.
You've got,
if you agree with Reem.
Yeah, you've got two massive things working against you here if you're the Falcons in this argument. One of them is that the season's gone completely down the drain. Right, because if you were having a good year, if the record was reversed, if you were 9-5 and you were winning the NFC South, you can look past this. Maybe it doesn't happen at all, but you certainly look past some guys, maybe a little further down the depth chart, complaining. The other aspect is that's working against you is, again, the receiving situation is an absolute disaster. If you had guys stepping up and these guys were mad about their playing time, but you said, hey, we got other guys making plays, catching touchdowns, again, you look past it. But there's such an issue, Mike, with that whole group, with the offense in general.
No, it is what it is. It sucks. The wide receiver group, this one area, when we signed Darnell Mooney, I said to Carl, I said this to you last week, I go, who the hell is Darnell Mooney?
Yeah.
Because I wasn't a Bears fan. And he had a 1,000-yard season for the Bears, but he also couldn't stay healthy for the Bears. And unfortunately, like, Day-Day and Carl and I were there at practice back in August, lands right on his shoulder, pops his collarbone, and he hasn't been the same guy since. But unfortunately, that's kind of what you are. It's like a car you have to keep taking back to the shop. That's been Mooney's career. He's got explosive speed, had some of the most pretty touchdowns last year with Kirk Cousins.
Yeah.
I'm not getting any of that this year.
No.
And everybody else is just inconsistent. Pitts can step into the breach, but Pitts doesn't score touchdowns. You know, Pitts has gotten better the last 2 weeks, but the bar is so low, it's like saying you're the world's tallest little person.
I also don't mean to be nasty here, but Pitts is good for three quarters, and in the fourth quarter, when we need someone to step up and make plays, it's not him. Well, and that's part of the problem.
That's what's so aggravating about Pitts. That's why Pitts is the poster child for the 2025 Falcons.
Yeah.
You know, if you don't get him involved early, he falls asleep, and he's disinterested. And if you try to get him involved early, he drops a touchdown pass against the Colts in Berlin that could have changed the entire complexion of that game. Pitts, by the way, there's no way in God's green earth he's back, right?
I can't imagine.
No way. Because he's going to command more money because he's a former first-round pick.
Yeah.
And I know, I apologize if you heard me say this the last few weeks, like your crazy ex-girlfriend who thought they could fix you.
Yeah, I agree.
We can't fix it, but maybe somebody else can.
1,000% agree. And that's what's going to be the most frustrating, by the way, is when he does go somewhere and
he's going to have some success because he's got the ability. But does he have the heart? Does he have the valentine? Is he the Vic Beasley of tight ends?
I'm not worried about having some success. I'm worried about him going somewhere.
Is he the Vic Beasley of tight ends?
No, I don't think so.
So Vic had more talent?
No, I think Pitts has more talent.
But Vic had no valentine. I know Vic's from up the road, but Vic just didn't love
Pitts
football.
I think Pitts is more interested in playing football than Vic Beasley ever was. I think he's soured completely on whatever's going on here.
All right.
And I think he's just waiting his turn and biding his time to go somewhere else and show how he should be. I think it all goes back to him being used improperly, and he's never mentally gotten past that.
We always have a good time talking to Pitts because we always say, hey, man, are your ears burning? Have you told us? Because I joked around with him about the quiet quitting thing I said.
Yeah.
He gave me the look. Remember, Danny, like the stink eye? Because he's so cool. I can't tell if Pitts is just aloof. He thinks this team is a joke and he's over the offense. I can't tell because what he was sold as a bill of goods – He was wanted, apparently, by Arthur's. Carl's maintained this was Arthur Smith's pick because Arthur got hired before Terry.
I agree.
And anytime we ask the question, nobody cops to it. You know, it's like the Deshaun Watson thing. How do we go after Deshaun Watson? Who wanted him? I don't know. So it's Arthur Blank.
Yeah.
That's why when we get back to, I know we're talking micro about the position, but if you look macro at the Falcons, it's about the dysfunction of the organization, which gets us back to where we are now. And look, I'm not crying, Abe, about the first-round pick because James Pierce Jr. looks the part. Jalen Walker's had too many lingering injuries to really get the full Megillah on him, but he's got 5 sacks already.
Yeah.
If we get 12 or 13 sacks from these two guys in the first year, job well done, and we're okay with that. I mean, we just don't have a – it just sucks when you don't have a quarterback or don't know what Penix is and you don't have a first-round pick next year.
If you can win one or two of these last four games and just keep that pick somewhere between 8 and 12, I think I'll be a little bit more okay with it. If you continue to drop games and that pick goes from whatever it is now, 8 or 9 to 4 or 5, it'll be a little bit tougher argument. So, you know, that's one that we're waiting to be seen. You know, it's frustrating we haven't been able to see Jalen Walker healthy this year. I think him partnering with Pierce is going to be really good down the road. It's one of the things that I think has halted some of the success late in games defensively this season. But I'm with you. Pierce looks outstanding. He also, and this goes all the way back to the start of the year, right? This goes back to training camp. Pierce is one of those guys that just looks like he's going to be one of the top pass rushers in the league. I mean, he really looks like that's a guy coming off the bus that's going to sack someone.
We got him because they had tunnel vision. I'm telling you, if Jalen Walker doesn't fall to us at 15, we were going to take him at 15. And some of the analysts would have gone nuts. But when Terry locks in on a guy like Penix Jr., see, that's an example where the tunnel vision maybe works against you.
Yeah.
Pierce was the right pick. We didn't know what he was the first time we spoke to him. He's kind of, you know, just getting his feel for doing the media thing on the pro level. But he's a dog, man. He's that alpha dog you saw in practice. You see it. And I think once Jalen Walker can stay healthy and avoid these soft tissue injuries, then he's going to be – you got it, fire breathers. And then we beef up the linebacker core, too, if you can in the offseason.
Yeah, and I mean, we saw the problem with the depth in that unit. I think we all like what Caden Ellis does. I think we all like what Divine Diablo does. Ronnie Harrison's come in and has been a nice piece as well. But if you lose either Caden or Diablo, you're in real trouble there.
One aspect also of the Falcon linebacker core, and I know we get on them, they're speedy. They can do all the things. And, you know, Divine Diablo has been, like as we said, he's been great. It's the tackles. I said let Grady go play in a 4-3. He was kind of miscast. But, man, do we miss Grady? And I think Onyemata has slipped. I think you see a lot of – and, again, it's hard to judge – interior defensive linemen other than those nerds from Pro Football Focus.
Wow.
And even that's so subjective. Wow. Abe. But don't you think the interior of the line is not helping the linebacker core this season? You're missing some pieces.
Well,
Mike Johnson talked about that yesterday.
Again, we're going to watch a guy tonight on the opposing side that showcases what having a strong DT allows you to do in a variety of ways with your linebackers to aid the entire defense, right? Whether it's a just the general plugging up the middle, not being able to be run on, but also getting some pressure on the interior that allows linebackers to come in on quarterbacks. You're going to see that from Vita Vea. And quite frankly, the Atlanta Falcons have not and do not have a Vita Vea.
I want my old Grady Jackson back. Remember Grady Jackson?
Yes, sir.
He'd run on the field. His right nipple would be over his left shoulder. That guy got the job done, though, man. That was strong fat. Hey, man, it's our daily download, Little Falcons. They are brought to you by Akins Ford. Check out the year-end sales at akinsford.com. Just mentioned the Braves and the closer role. I said, can't wait to see Robert Suarez close for Braves with 97 to 98-mile-hour stuff. Iglesias becomes the setup man. Right?
Question mark?
Vols fan says, not according to the morons in the Braves front office. See, it's not even the season hasn't even started yet. I'm aggravated. Hey, thanks to everybody. Chef Malcolm did some amazing wings for us. Korean, that barbecue, that sauce was amazing.
Those were dynamite.
You get on
dynamite wings.
Are you waiting on your wings? Because it's not the worst. Our man Gordon is stuck behind the table where we're set up, and if that's your food order, it's getting cold. Get on it. With the sesame, it's gold. Miller Lite. Miller Lite specials. Miller Lite freebies. We're at Gus's in Ackworth. Why am I so amped up? We're only here for 2 hours. We're stealing money like Steak Shapiro.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer.
When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Bro. Guys, at Gustin's in Akron, we got a full bar, man, on a Thursday. Nobody's working today. Everybody says they got that dreaded sales call and, hey, Hira or something. They're full of baloney. Abe Gordon is filling in for Carl today. Just out in the parking lot talking to some car guys. Looking at a souped-up GTR. Got about 1,400 horsepower on that sucker, Abe. That's what I need, another super speed.
That thing got a hammy?
No, man, great car culture up here. A lot of dudes and some new fans coming out as well. So come by and join us. A short show today, just on till 4. And then it's going to be Falcons pregame, Wade Ford tailgate. Miller Lite is sponsored. We got Miller Lite swag, all sorts of goodies. Get yourself an ice cold Miller Lite here at Gustin's. A couple guys hitting us up on the text line in lieu of our final comment before the commercial break about, you know, what's going on with the Braves. And a lot of guys agreeing with me there, Abe, that they'd prefer to see consistent heat as a closer, especially when the guy's got 40 and he's pretty good at it. I know he's older, so is Iglesias. And let Iglesias be the setup man with his mixed bag of stuff. I mean, I know that good, hard-throwing closers, they don't grow on trees. And even guys like Heater have bad runs, et cetera.
Right.
And just because you're throwing 100 miles an hour doesn't mean you're going to be better than a guy who's mixing up speeds and location and throwing breaking balls. But it's just something about, as a Braves fan, and this is something we've had to deal going all the way back to the World Series and years before, we haven't had that dog since Craig Kimbrell, the guy that you actually feel is like in his prime, that you felt was bulletproof coming out of the pen.
Yeah, and I'll say this, and we see it with a lot of different sports teams here in Atlanta. Just don't be stubborn. Don't fall victim to loyalty. If Iglesias needs to be bounced down to the setup role, then it has to happen.
Right.
I'm fine giving Iglesias the start as closer. If it is not working over a multiple game stretch, make the moves you need to. Don't fall victim to loyalty and stubbornness and cost this team games.
Right.
That's all. And I think that's where you are too. If it works the way it works, great. If it starts not working, be willing to adjust.
Right. Is it Biff Pogge is the new?
Pogge, yeah.
Pogge, two Gs. They found Day-Day. I was joking around with Day-Day before the break. They found some of the most unflattering shots, Day-Day, of the Michigan assistant coach who's now taking over, that Sherrone Moore has been fired,
yeah,
dismissed with cause. I mean, it's, you know what he looks like? He looks like Meatloaf in Fight Club. Remember when he had like the man boobs? You know what I'm talking about?
Well, look.
I mean, like, we all could lose some weight. I'm just saying. It looks unhealthy.
How long are they supposed to go trying to sort through flattering pictures?
Well, I'm just saying.
We ain't got time.
Hey, man, I know he's a coach, not a player, but there could be a sports bra endorsement in his future.
You remember when Bob Wiley, I think that was his name, was the assistant coach for the Browns? They were on
yes.
Hard Knock. He did the set hut, and you
right.
see his body
yes.
interact in that manner. You're not going to find that many flattering pictures of that guy the same way you're not going to find many flattering pictures of this guy.
No, it's like years ago when I got in trouble on social media, they found the most unflattering photos I posted on Twitter. At the time I was shaving my head, they got me at the Final Four. I'm behind the basket in Indianapolis, and I literally, like, look at that guy. He looks like a sexist pig meathead. Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, that was the worst possible picture if you are going to judge a book by its cover to use.
Well, what do you want them to do?
Well, I mean, they're
Mike, we'd like to publish this article about you. Would you please send us your finest headshot?
I mean, but there were better. The point is, they had about 25 better pictures to use.
Just go to the 92.9 Game website.
Media.
You know what I mean?
Right, but that was not going to be the case. Either way, Biff Poggi, he's the Michigan interim coach, and everybody. I was talking to the guys here at the bar. Is DeBoer a legit thing, or is that just the first thing that all the media run to?
There was this mindset that some people, I don't know if you believe it.
Dave, by the way, Dave, you're too close to it.
I certainly
You're like Adam Schefter. You're too close to it.
I don't believe this. Do you believe the reports that if Alabama did not make the playoffs, that DeBoer was going to be offered the Penn State job?
I don't know.
Because I don't buy that.
I mean,
I just don't buy that Alabama is.
You beat Kirby Smart 2 out of 3 games. I think you're pretty good at your job. You know, the problem is they just had the first year. The story, remember, Day-Day, remind me from SEC Media Days, from Jocks in Birmingham, who we have on the show.
Cole Kublik.
Cole Kublik was saying that DeBoer was probably too loose with the reins the first year, and the Saban guys, who were obviously elite players, they were the holdovers. They were like, ha-ha, it's like when you're a kid, substitute teachers here, and the discipline fell off, and he didn't want to crack the whip to it. Then he comes back, and this year it's a totally different approach.
Let me give you an argument for DeBoer leaving. I don't know if I buy this entirely, but it'd be an argument and maybe something he considers. He continues to be on the hot seat in Alabama.
Well, he's never going to be safe.
I know, right.
So you're never gonna satisfy everybody over
at
there.
At Michigan, you could probably make a similar salary, if not more, because of the situation they find themselves in needing to be a head coach. You're somewhat rescuing a program that's in an iffy situation right now. And I think you could be viewed at as mildly somewhat of a savior by rescuing that program in this moment as compared to what you are at Alabama, which is never Saban.
Right. And the thing in Michigan, people don't remember, and it's kind of like selective amnesia. They're ready to run Harbaugh out of town. They were begging Harbaugh to take a pro job. And all of a sudden, I mean, like, I don't know how much you make of the cheating thing. I think coaches are always looking for an edge. You wouldn't go through, like, Belichick with the Spygate. If there's an edge to be got, you're going for it. So they weren't doing this for blanks and giggles, you know, when they had the guy was Connor Stallions out there, you know, trying to get videotape the other team's signals. So it's tainted to everybody else outside, you know, Michigan. Michigan fans don't give a crap. They're not giving it back. But that team was this close to firing Harbaugh. They were trying to get the boosters to pony up to get the buyout. And then he wins the natty. Then obviously Sherrone Moore, you know, a good assistant, but he's not Jim Harbaugh. And now it ends in disgrace. So, yeah, you come in there, you're DeBoer, you're Superman. You step foot on that campus, you're like you're coming to the rescue.
I'll be honest. I never liked the Sherrone Moore hire for the same reason I'm not in love with the Pete Golding hire at Ole Miss. It's just not inspired. It wasn't a real search. They just kind of handed a guy that they deemed was the guy in waiting, if you will, unofficially, the job. And
The only place that works is the pros. If you've got that thing on track, like when Bill Walsh stepped away and George Seifert took over, because in the NFL you got contracts and guys are there, and you've already built the machine. It rarely, to your point, it doesn't. When Bill Stewart got the job at West Virginia, right? Remember he filled in when Rich Rodriguez left.
Yeah, well,
and it just didn't work.
I think it works
because you're always prisoner of the moment when they win the bowl game.
When it's officially set up, right? Like Coach K handpicked, and they had a timeline for when Coach K was going to leave and hand things over to Shire. And he seems to have that program still.
Yeah,
rolling.
But the Will Muschamp in Texas was a joke.
Right.
Behind Coach Mack. And eventually he goes to Florida and the rest is history there.
Yeah.
But no, talking about coaches, Day-Day's got it in our notes today on Dukes and Bell. We're live at Gustin's, guys, here in Acworth with Miller Lite. Chip Kelly reportedly has interviewed with Brent Key and Georgia Tech. I got no problem Chip Kelly is an OC. No problem. The only problem is probably only have for 1 year if he's really good at it.
Potentially, and that's something to consider. I think everyone's gotten down on Chip Kelly, and obviously it didn't work this year with the Raiders in the NFL, and people look at him and say, boy, the last time he was running a program in college football, blah, 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 blah. Do you guys forget he was the OC for the championship season for Ohio State a year ago?
Right.
I mean, he most recently won a college football title right. as an offensive coordinator.
Right, and who cares? He built some of the – he was part of that Oregon growth.
Yeah.
Didn't get across the finish line for a natty. UCLA, I don't think anybody's going to be successful at UCLA.
A lot of people thought the game had kind of moved past what was innovative for him. But I thought his year at Ohio State felt different.
When he went to Philadelphia, he pissed off the Eagles players
because
he wanted to get them in shape. Everybody had to get in shape, and they were up-tempo, and that obviously burned out up there too. But just as an OC, it's like Florida State with Malzahn. It is what it is. You got to get the right QB to run it. But in this case,
right.
Kelly, I mean, does it fit what Brent's trying to do? I think he can marry his system to what Tech's doing.
Well, the other thing is I actually think this goes the other way. I don't think Chip Kelly is interested in leaving quickly for a head coaching job. I think it's become very clear from when he took the OC job at Ohio State to when he took the OC job with the Raiders. He's not looking for another head coaching gig. So it actually might put you in a situation where maybe he leaves for another OC job. I don't think he wants to head coach again because of what coaching in college now requires, that he might be OC for a number of years.
It is our man Abe Gordon filling in for Carl today. Tomorrow, a very special Dukes and Bell. We're putting the band back together. Another legacy from 790. Dave Archer and I are going to be doing the show down in College Park at the arena, right, where the Skyhawks play. Is that the Gateway?
Gateway, yeah.
So we'll be doing the show. It's before Skyhawks are in action. Dave Archer and I, so we'll get Dave's reaction to the call, and him and Wes are on it tonight, and what goes down in Tampa. We're still just a 4.5-point dog. That's a crazy low number. That is a crazy low number for a team that has lost 7 of 8, doesn't have our second-best offensive piece in Drake London, and they're getting Mike Evans back along with their receiver core. It's a crazy number, man.
Do you ever look at a number, and maybe it's your team, maybe it's another team, and kind of gain confidence because you feel the odds makers are normally of knowing? Do you ever look at a number and be like, boy, they seem to think we're going to be competitive. Maybe I should too.
Right. I don't know about you guys, if you have a rule. I mean, if you want to make some money, who gives a flip? I would have bet against Florida State every single game this year. And I would have lost certainly against Alabama.
Sure.
But starting with Virginia down the stretch, some of these numbers, because you're right, Vegas is just trying to get that 50-50 action to cover the house so the house doesn't get murdered one side or the other. But they throw some numbers at you. The casual fan, that's why Georgia Tech was a good buy at times this year, because nobody knows Georgia Tech outside of Atlanta. They're not a brand yet. Brent's trying to change that. Falcons never get any action because nobody cares about us outside of 285. That's the problem. That's why with Vegas, we never get any juice. But this one, that's why I'm asking. This number is confusing. It should be 6.5 or 7 for the Bucs right now.
Yeah, I feel the same way. Especially,
but you said it. They're looking at that Saints loss and getting the overreaction from the betting public. I'm telling you, the sharps are on the Bucs tonight.
Yeah, this to me feels like a Bucs team.
It's up to 5.5. From my lips to some bookie's ears, it's just going up to 5.5.
I know Baker Mayfield has said he wakes up sometimes feeling dangerous, and this feels like a Bucs team that should feel dangerous. Their backs are against the wall right now. The Panthers are breathing down their neck, and they need to right their ship. Both, you know, Bucs, they have actual boat that they try. Anyways, it feels like a team that is ready to fight.
By the way, if you ever go to a Bucs game, do not stand near the pirate ship.
It is so loud.
I mean, you think you're on the USS Iowa when they pop those cannons? When Decker goes, fire the cannons! I mean, we were there pregame last year for the Falcons game, and I'm like, they basically fire the cannon, let you know it's an hour before kickoff. And I'm like it's like that scene in Saving Private Ryan on the beach when nobody can hear. Like, everyone's like, wow.
Well, and the other thing about it is, you know it's coming, and the first time, you're still not prepared for it. I covered the Bucs for 2 years. I went to every home game for the Buccaneers when I was starting my radio career. And you're just never prepared for how loud it is the first time that day. You get used to it over the course of that day, and then the next week comes, and you always forget how loud it is, and it's a real problem. It startles you.
Hey, man, Michael Penix Jr., for guys looking for a reference point, if you feel like betting the Falcons, now up to 5.5, might be 6 by kick. Penix threw for 298 yards and a touchdown. Bijan, 100 yards receiving, but only held to 24 yards rushing. You mentioned Vita Vea and the guys clogging up the middle. Mm. They've been more banged up on defense. They went. Was it Jason Pierre-Paul? Who they bring back?
Yeah.
Jason Pierre-Paul and his hamburger helper glove. they brought back because they're just not generating pass rush. So remember, Kirk Cousins' two best games last year, the comfort behind victory on Thursday night and the win down in Tampa where they had the Bucky Irving fumble. Remember where, boom, we had Jesse Bates punch the ball out. That's also the game. Remember, Abe, A.J. Terrell makes that great diving stab right on the goal line for the pick?
Yeah.
That was one of the best games of the year. I was sitting right behind a bench on that one. But getting back to week one this year, that's the game where Koo can't hit the field goal.
That's right.
To send us to overtime.
Yeah. Bijan had six catches for 100 yards, as you mentioned. Pitts had seven for 59. Bijan did have the receiving touchdown.
Remember, Bijan starts the game with a score.
Your next four receivers in that game. Drake London. Out. Ray McLeod, 3 for 51, gone. Casey Washington, 3 catches, injured. Kadarrell Hodge had a target, no catches. So everyone of record on this stat sheet besides Bijan and Kyle Pitts are gone for you.
Right.
That's a concern. Only one sack in that game. You have really ramped up your sack totals since the early portion of the season. Kind of hoping we maybe get the feel of that a little bit. You certainly know Baker. He can scramble, and he's been a problem. We just saw Sam Darnold beat you with his legs a couple of times, but hopefully a little more pressure than you had in week one can maybe turn the tables. But, yeah. Do you remember week one, Mike?
Yes,
when
I remember.
It all felt like
I remember week one. I remember week one like it was yesterday.
Back when we felt there was a chance,
yeah.
And you kind of wrote this off as, well, Koo missed the field goal, and we're all upset, but, man, you went toe-to-toe with the Bucs who were going to win
right,
this division.
But the Carolina game, that was one you can't let happen. I know that the old excuse is every good football team has a loss like that in Carolina. Then we went and stacked about five losses like that.
A couple more.
You know, I mean, this team, and I know I apologize, I know it's a cliche, but it is true. Bill Parcells' adage, your record says you are what you are. We're a poorly coached football team with great individual stars who are incapable of playing for four quarters. That's why we are what we are. And we don't have a quarterback right now because Cousins just hasn't been that dude. I mean, Kirk could come to the rescue. Kyle Pitts can come to the rescue. But, I mean, by this point, it's not happening. When you've seen it, you know where it's going. It's not happening.
When we play these short week games, do you ever is that an advantage to the lesser than team? Does it bring the teams closer? Do you ever feel that way?
Thursday night games, you could argue that the NFL, when they talk about player safety and concussions, it's the biggest joke because by now half the teams are walking wounded. You're turning it around. It's not really safe. I know fans don't give a crap. They want their Thursday night football. But, I mean, so many guys are banged up. Sometimes you see teams get blown out. That's why so many of those early Amazon games, remember, were so tough. Schedule is certainly, you know, difficult as we get the Rams after this. This is why we had to make hay against what we perceived were the teams that were struggling.
That's right.
The Dolphins have since turned it around. Carolina's turned it around. The Saints have some juice now. Somebody's always rising or falling. Unfortunately, we're going, you know which way we're going.
Honestly, I look at that win over the Saints now as an upset.
You think about it.
That's where it's
fallen. Kirk Cousins was there. It's frustrating, guys. And yes, I do remember. We'll come back, guys. We'll take a look at what's going around the NFL. Big injury in Pittsburgh on the defense. Ooh. We'll tell you more about that. And then Day-Day and I will mash up Yeah Man, No Man with some Hey Man and some Guy Talk. It's all coming up. We're live at, by the way, Miller Lights on Specials. We're at Gustin's in Ackworth here on 41. We got a full bar. What did Judge Smale say? Don't you people have homes? Come join the party. Hey, man, it is a Thursday edition of Dukes and Bell with our man Abe because Carl's on vacay. He will be back. Carl has not been traded to the morning shift, as Mike Johnson tweeted earlier in the week. Carl's just enjoyed a, we believe, European sojourn. We'll find out when he gets back. This Saturday, guys, from noon to 2, join Ali Mack, Ed Boyle's Kia over in Marietta as we get ready for Sunday's big game. One lucky fan's going to win the ultimate tailgate kit, 50-inch 4K TV. Hey, what's up, brother? 4K TV with rolling stand, other prizes, plus another winner takes home tickets to an upcoming home game Saturday, noon to 2, Ed Boyle's Kia in Marietta. Go see Ali Mack from the morning shift with 92.9 The Game. Just talking to a couple of listeners. These guys are great hanging out here. We got Miller Lights flowing like water. Shout out at the bar. One of those guys from Georgia Tech who knows what it likes and knows how it feels to beat UGA. My boy Knapp. Knapp played offensive line with Brent Key. And, of course, getting the love from Georgia fans up here at Gustin's. But my man does a great job with the APD and just a good friend. I've known him going back to the old days of Lulu's, Day-Day, drinking those fish bowls in Buckhead, back when Buckhead was Buckhead. Oh, man, it was such a good time. Abe, now, you grew up, where'd you grow up, and did you get a chance to sample the goods of Buckhead and its
prime? No, not really. As the closest I could get to Buckhead in those days was the ESPN zone because I was underage.
Oh, and that wasn't even Buckhead.
No, I know. Yeah, I know. But I was underage. Right. But, yeah, I grew up here in Atlanta.
No, Nap, back in the day, Lulu's, Bar Atlanta, what was it, Metropolitan Pizza, where all the strippers used to hang out on Wednesday nights, the Lodge, you name it, Dixie Tavern. There were so many great spots. The original Buckhead Saloon. Yeah, I mean, I know it's like nostalgia. It's the old photos. Of course, back then, nobody had camera phones.
Yeah.
So maybe that's a good thing back in the day. Oh, Day-Day, you got it up? Which one are you, baby? I don't know. We'll find out which mic you're on.
Oh.
Let's try that one.
Is that me? Is
there you go. What's up, baby?
But, you know, and to your point, Mike, back then, at that time, people, celebrities, whatever you want to call them, like they hung out regularly because there was no, you know, like you said, cell phones and cameras. So you'd go somewhere and, you know, Usher's hanging out in there. Lil John's hanging out. Like you would just see, you know, athletes. They're just hanging out because it wasn't all this snap, snap, can I get a video, all that stuff going on.
No, so we talked about it. The old days, the Gold Club. I mean, the Gold Club was a legendary. You'd start your night at the Gold Club, or you'd end your night at the Gold Club, and you'd see the Big Show. You know, Kevin Nash will be there. You'll see members of the Braves. You talked about it. WWE, country music stars, hip-hop. It was all going down. It was just a different time. What else? Oh, I forgot Mako's. Mako's was next to Lulu's with the swing.
Yes.
I remember one time we were out, me and Johnny Plops and the guys, and there was a bunch of British cops, bobbies, they were over here for an international law enforcement convention at the World Congress Center. And, of course, where do you think we took him? I had a pickup truck deal from Jim Ellis. I had a Mazda with, like, flames on the side.
Nice.
I said, everybody pile in the back. Took him to the Gold Club.
It was right down the street,
international
too.
Relations, man. Hey, it's Dukes and Bell. We're live at Gustin's here in Acworth, right off 41. Great crowd. Good time. Fun time. Join the party, pal. This hour of the program and this segment brought to you by Priority Men's Medical Center. Check them out at PriorityMen'sMedical.com. Falcons down to five. Now up, I should say, to 5.5-point dogs. Started at 4.5. It's on Prime Video on Amazon. Don't forget to sync up your radio. Listen to Arch and West with the call. The big storyline today, Abe, I had your chance to work with you in a couple days.
Yeah.
I mean, the memes of Uncle Rico or the time that Pete Carroll was throwing the football or any time a grandfather's throwing a football in the backyard, it says Philip Rivers practicing with the Colts.
Y'all joke about it. Just be lucky he's not facing us one of these weeks. I'd be nervous. The amount of players who have been player of the week against the Atlanta Falcons this season.
And by the way, how little faith do they have in Anthony Richardson, who should have stayed in college?
Well, he's,
I know he hit his orbital bone. You guys know the story on this? Anthony Richardson was the rookie out of Florida who they benched in favor of Daniel Jones.
That's right.
He was using one of those elastic bands like Body by Jake.
Yeah.
Just sling it around your doorknob and get some. And he basically gets hit in the face with the band and pops his orbital bone.
What happened was whatever the band was attached to, the bar snapped.
Jeez.
And it was the bar that came and hit him. I assume it was like a hard plastic sort of thing. But, yeah, he got popped in the eye, and he's never recovered.
Yeah, but you,
Riley Leonard's got a knee thing.
Yeah, but an orbital bone, it heals. I mean, you've got a helmet on. They can put a visor on you. They never want to see this guy, it sounds like, ever on the field again for the Colts.
It's a mess. You knew it was a mess. It was always a mess. The only thing that was surprising was that Daniel Jones was as good as he was. He was supposed to be a mess, too.
They
right?
thought they were getting that Jaden Daniels type or Mike Vick, that super athletic guy.
I'll tell you who knew they weren't. Every Florida Gator fan.
Yes, and that's
every Florida Gator fan was like, this guy needs at least one more year.
He needed to transfer to Jalen Milroe should have done the same thing for Alabama. Mm. Milroe did. Remember we talked about this? He should have transferred to a better passing offense.
We just saw him. He's Seattle,
yes,
right?
And get a better shot to get your game rounded up. Anthony Richardson, look, I don't begrudge, just like the NBA. If I was 18, I could go in the draft. But in the case of him, you weren't ready, and now you've blown it because all you're going to bank was that bonus you get from being a first-round pick, but you're probably never going to be doing anything other than wearing a baseball hat on the practice
squad. And aside from the development, he's got the Jackson Dart syndrome where he just keeps taking hits. He took hits in college and got hurt. He took hits in the NFL and got hurt. And it was never really – because he was good his first game. He was very good, but physically he just couldn't hold up.
Hey, speaking of injuries, up in Pittsburgh, there's a pretty big one. And that is, and I just had it, Day-Day puts good notes for me together, getting it ready, is TJ? TJ Watt apparently is banged up. And so what's the nature of it, Day-Day? Jump back on, man.
Well, this one's interesting because it sounds like he wasn't hurt while dealing with the team. It sounds like he was hurt in the training room.
Yeah, and they said it's a throat. Sounds like it's some type of
what
throat
issue. What the
hell's
going on? These guys are pro
athletes.
It's a
lung.
Lung. Yeah. But he's apparently comfortable.
Do you remember, Mike, and I don't know if it's the same thing. So I just be aware, I'm not saying it's the exact same issue. Do you remember when the Chargers injured Tyrod Taylor, trying to give him an injection?
Yes, he got a shot for busted ribs.
Yeah, that's right.
They gave him a pain-killing shot before the game.
And they ended up breaking his rib,
and
right?
They went into his lung.
That's right. And he collapsed
his lung. With
it punctured his lung,
and
right?
We used to, Carl and I joked around, like, who's this friggin' doctor?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Where'd they get this guy from? Was he disbarred in Tijuana? Yeah.
So I don't know if it's the same thing there, but it sounds like something similar because the way I read it was that he got injured while in the training room. So that's tough.
Hey, we get a flex game this week. We were just talking about, we're surprised that the Falcons and the Rams didn't get dumped on Monday Night Football, but it's staying on Monday Night Football. So it's going to be, I guess, what?
Well, week 16.
Week 16.
Yeah.
It's a better game. The Bengals-Dolphins, and the Bengals aren't going anywhere. Dolphins have turned it around. Still going to make the playoffs before we start crowning Coach Bra as the genius with the turnaround, although they've done better since they fired the general manager. Go figure that one. The Ravens and the Patriots is a much better game. So the NFL flexes Patriots-Ravens to week 16. But I'll tell you what, again, Abe, your thoughts.
Is that a better
game? Jalen Hurts, no, it's a better. Jalen Hurts looked terrible, and we've seen it with Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson, the last few outings, has just gotten, he's reverted back to that stuff, which eventually got them to bring Todd Monken in. I thought they'd fixed it. He makes terrible decisions with the football.
Yeah, ultimately.
And I'm a Lamar Jackson fan, but it's amazing how you can be MVP 2 years and sometimes day-to-day look as bad as Lamar Jackson does in regular season and playoffs.
Ultimately, what it boils down to for both of them, by the way, and I think not exactly the same quarterback, but neither of them are just great passers. Mm-hmm. They're not elite passers. And it feels like the Eagles are trying to, whether it's because of limitations physically or whatever, both Jalen and Lamar Jackson have been turned into passers, and they need to be runners.
Well, if we're honest, Eagles never really relied on Jalen.
Well, the Eagles' issue is their O-line.
Right, yeah.
Right.
The Eagles, I don't think, have a Jalen Hurts issue. I think they have an offensive line issue.
Right.
The Ravens, I think, have a Lamar Jackson issue, and I think that's a physical aspect where he's just not able to do what they need him to do, mostly running the ball. Mm-hmm. This guy used to run for 115 a game. Right. They're not getting that anymore.
Hey, a couple of guys hit me up on the text line. They go, man, Cam Newton's got to be crying somewhere that Philip Rivers got a shot.
Oh, he is.
And he's 5 years older.
He is.
Now, again, I can't watch that show.
I didn't
show.
Even think about that.
When the stuff on ESPN is on at the gym, there's a couple of dudes I train with. And I'll give a shout, by the way, I want to give a shout out to Reginald, listener.
But I'm mad.
When I was at the gym yesterday, and he goes, you know Cam Newton's going to be crying like a – starts with a B. And I go, yes, he probably will be.
That's because – egregious.
So Cam with his crazy hats. Somebody put it on social media the other day, and I thought it was the most brilliant tweet. And they're talking about Cam in his outfit with the hat, and said, Cam Newton, he looks like an evil chocolate factory owner who's looking to put Willy Wonka out of business.
He's a bum.
Just needs a different overcoat. He'd be right there.
Right.
Yeah, but I saw the clips
Cam,
of him crying.
It's egregious. So the forgotten Cam left to die.
So he was already complaining then.
Yeah,
I saw
him complaining today.
He felt disrespected. The Colts signed a 44-year-old grandfather before they even called him at age 39.
Philip Rivers played better in 2020 than Cam Newton did at the end of his career.
Cam, the numbers don't lie. I mean, the accuracy wasn't there. He could still scramble for a touchdown in the red zone. And look, Cam was an MVP. And he's got to get over it.
But
just turn the page, guy. Get on with your life.
Well,
and the thing is, the racial thing always tinges into it because it's generally a white young quarterback he's crapping on. I've never heard him call out an African American quarterback on that show, and people see that day to day and they go, "Come on, Cam. You know, it's kind of transparent. So come on, you know what? Did you call the Colts? Because it's one thing. Did you call Indianapolis? Were you putting it out there on the street? You were willing day to day, right? To come back, you can't complain if you weren't willing to make the rounds. I don't know.
By the way, Philip Rivers was signed to the practice squad. There is a headache associated with Cam Newton that you can't just put on the practice squad.
Right. Because immediately it goes sideways.
Yeah.
That's why, look, would I have rolled the dice? Would I have taken Cam Newton over Ritter? Yes, in a heartbeat. I said it at the time. But the Falcons didn't want that smoke because they're too conservative. They don't want that heat. Yeah. Cam coming back to Atlanta, I would have rolled it. It could have been no worse than Mariota and Ritter at the end.
What do you think the conversation is if Cam Newton's on the practice squad, Riley Leonard starts and plays poor?
Right.
What's the media discussion then?
Well, I mean, look,
versus What happens if Phillip Rivers is on the
practice? And I get it. Sometimes there are agendas. I'll still for the life of me not figure out what they were doing with Shedeur Sanders in Cleveland. I'll buy that. We'll come back, guys, live at Gustin's. We've got everybody here. We've got toddlers walking around. We've got regulars that apparently live here that apparently actually have – they sublet their spots at the bar, I found out today. It's brought to you by Miller Lite. We'll be here until 4, early edition, guys, because we've got to get to the wait for tailgate and then the Falcons pregame show. We come back. Soap opera in Michigan. Shame. Shame, Wolverines. Shame. Hey, man, it is Dukes and Bell. The Braves making some moves today. We've been talking a lot about the Falcons. It's a very quick show, just 2 hours, live from Gustin's, here off of 41 in Ackworth. Real quick, the Braves signed Robert Suarez, as you heard in the update, and I can't wait to see this guy close. 98 miles an hour at age 34, 98.6. That's the guy when the Braves, the bullpen door opens in the ninth inning, that's the guy that should be pitching, not somebody who's nipping, you know, aiming for the corners, throwing breaking balls, off-speed stuff. I need some heat, meat, and you're telling me, Abe Gordon, not the case. You feel the Braves are
going to
roll
here,
out with Iglesias and that Robert Suarez, who we just signed a 3-year, $45 million contract that Jeff Passan had from ESPN initially. And you're telling me it's going to be role reversal. He'll be the setup.
That's what it seems to look like, at least from the
start. It doesn't make sense.
No, it doesn't. And again, certainly with Snit, there was a lot of loyalty and some stubbornness, and it'll be interesting to see with Walt Weiss. The one thing I'm hoping, and I mentioned this to you as well, just be willing to adjust, be willing to adapt, be willing to change roles if it calls for that, because you just can't give away games in Major League Baseball. And we've seen the Braves' seasons fall apart the last couple of years at times because of the bullpen. It's nice to boost through the bullpen, but, yeah, I'm with you. It makes sense. Suarez is an all-star a year ago, one of the top closers in baseball, and we're bringing it in to set up. That's fine until it's not fine. Just be willing to change if need be.
No. I mean, you're basically – Abe's an old line that my agent – hey, brother, good to see you. A line that our old agent, Carl and I, used to say, there's the world you live in and there's the world you want.
Yeah.
And you're telling me the world I'm living in, that's Iglesias closing. All righty then. Day-Day is ready to go. The brains of the operation live from Gustin's. As we said, brought to you by Miller Lite today. There's Miller Lite swag. We got the really cool football koozies, which have the football. I love that. Again, because we go through koozies like socks. You can never get enough of those. And specials on Miller Lite. So join the party. We'll be here till 4. And, of course, get ready for the Falcons on Thursday Night Football against the Bucks. Day-Day is a combination of yeah, man, no, man, and guy talk. It's hey, yeah, man, no. Right here, as we're off at 4. Man, Steak and Sandra and Rusty are stealing money with this 2 hour stuff.
I know, right? Feels good, right?
Hey, yesterday we had our Christmas party, and I got to hang out with our sisters and brothers from V103 and Star 94 and WAOK.
Yeah.
And it's funny because I was running upstairs with two slices of pizza, you know, like an animal, and up there in the studio. But we had a great time. Thanks to Mike Johnson for filling in. All right, brother, what you got today?
All right, so I'm going to actually throw this one back to you. NASCAR settles this federal antitrust case filed by 23, 11, and Front Row. Tell me what this means. Because someone, a listener, put it to us this way in our behind the curtain this morning. They asked, So does this mean NASCAR lost?
Yes, NASCAR lost. NASCAR thought that nobody would take him to the mattresses on this, to use a phrase of Godfather. Michael Jordan and his team basically said, and it's kind of hard to explain. Think of it as like guaranteed spots that you buy into that are given out to. It's a little convoluted how NASCAR has done this, going all the way back to the France family back in the day. So it's almost like, well, why can't I just show up with my car and qualify for the race and I make the race?
Right.
And all 43 or 50 cars can show up and try to make it. And no, they basically slated spots that are locked in the field. To put it in layman's terms.
Okay.
And those come with a price.
The term they use is permanent charter.
Yes,
a charter. 36 of them.
Think of it as a personal seat license for the cars. Giving you the right to race.
Gotcha. So that's a nice little segue because apparently.
And Michael Jordan said this is BS.
Right.
Nobody else was going to fight it. And one of the funny pieces of information came out that NASCAR brass, amongst other things that were in phone records, called Richard Childress a dumb redneck.
Mm.
And he doesn't take kindly to that. That's, for those who don't know, legendary team owner of Dale Earnhardt and numerous other drivers. But yeah, there's a lot of stuff that NASCAR didn't want and would be continuing to come out if this didn't get settled. And that's apparently what they've done.
Gotcha. So interesting enough, you talk about the guarantee. 19 spots. Remember last week, or was it earlier this week? It might have been last week, but we heard that there was the reports that Notre Dame and this new deal going to the next season, that they'd pretty much be guaranteed a spot in the playoffs. Well, potentially, there could be some smoke with that. It looks like ADs from all the other leagues
are
threatening to freeze Notre Dame out of future scheduling after they found out about this. And so what do you guys think, man? Has Notre Dame kind of found themselves in a bit of a pickle with this situation?
No, I don't think so, Mike.
I mean, what is it now? It's the message or the letter of understanding?
It was memorandum, which reportedly grants Notre Dame preferential playoff access.
I want to get my acronyms correct on their MOU, message of understanding. But anyway, this basically to Abe's and to your point, Dede, that they're locked in. If they're in the top 12, they're in. Why are they in? Because Notre Dame is a big brand. They make $50 million a year from NBC through 2029. So they're too big to fail, too big to join a conference. That's why I always say just the tip when it comes to them in the ACC. And the thing is, the ACC guys, Abe, if you remember, helped them out when all their Big Ten and Pac-12 teams canceled the season.
Yeah.
And the ACC threw them a lifeline. So it's kind of disingenuous for Notre Dame to say, you're lobbying for Miami over us. Well, they beat you head-to-head, Sparky. Sorry.
Right.
So now a lot of other schools are saying, screw Notre Dame. You've had preferential treatment all those years that Brian Kelly's teams did nothing in the playoffs. I don't want to lump him in with Marcus Freeman because he did a hell of a job last year. Those guys earned it. But those teams before that never earned it. That's why a lot of folks are saying, pound sand, Notre Dame. You've made it easy to say, for us to say, you know, we're going to try to marginalize you.
Right. Yeah, a couple of things. If it goes to 16, they don't have an agreement. This agreement with where they're ranked in automatic spot is only in a 12 or 14 team format. So I believe it's going to 16 at some point relatively soon. If it goes to 16, they'll either have to argue their way into a new agreement or just deal with the at-large consequences, which is what happened to them in this year as well. I also just don't buy that programs are going to ice them out. I just think there's too much opportunity to be on national TV facing Notre Dame. I just don't believe that. I think it's still better for your program, depending on what level of school you are, to be playing either at or hosting Notre Dame. So I think it's another game of chicken, as you want to call it, Mike. I think they're going to say this. I think when push comes to shove and they have an offer to play at Notre Dame or to have Notre Dame come to their house, if you're one of these Purdue's not going to say no.
No, no. And real quick, I was talking to a guy at the bar. He's around here somewhere. He's wearing the Notre Dame hat. And he goes, what's your mean on with Notre Dame? We're having fun. He's talking to my buddy Nat from Georgia Tech. The problem with Notre Dame, and my father attended Notre Dame after Vietnam on the GI Bill, and my dad loved Notre Dame. I went to South Bend A-Day when I was a kid.
Right.
I just never vibed it. I've talked about this going all the way back to my days at 790. Elitists, snobs, kind of like what Michigan pulls. Like, their stuff just doesn't stink. You know, Ohio State are comfortable in their own skin. You know, they are meatheads, but Michigan people look down at everybody. And in the case of Notre Dame, it's the same thing. And Dave, you know the history. Yeah. I mentioned this, so I'll make it this brief. I mentioned this earlier in the week. Back when it was Newt Rockne, and, you know, when they were a scrappy, tiny little school in this little town in the middle of nowhere, you know, in Indiana, they had to fight against the East Coast establishment, Army and Navy and the Ivy League and all that. And that's when they were the plucky underdogs. Now they hold all the cards. That's why it's the world's smallest violin for Notre Dame to play victim card here. When everyone says, you should have just joined a conference, you should have just joined the Big Ten years ago, but they've never needed to do that with the influx of cash from their TV contract.
Yeah, and what ticks me off, Mike, is the seemingly lack of understanding from AD Pete Bavakwa in what the AC stance on this was. Because if the roles were reversed in any sort of situation, of course the ACC is going to fight for their team to get in. And for Notre Dame to not understand that, for Notre Dame to quietly threaten, because Notre Dame, you got to remember, Notre Dame is an ACC member in every sport besides football.
And that's so from volleyball to basketball to you name it. Right.
So there is a partnership there. They have a scheduling alliance, as you want to call it. It's not going to fall apart. But for Notre Dame to not understand why the ACC did what they did is also nonsense. It's small brain thinking. And so that to me is why I wasn't here for Pete Bavakwa's nonsense crybaby fuss. Over all of it is, of course, the ACC is going to try and get Miami in. That's where the revenue comes from. So why waste our time complaining about it? You're not going anywhere. You're not going to be fully independent in all sports. So shut up. Deal with it. And you know what? Don't lose your first two games next year. Why don't you try that? Why don't you try not starting out 0-2?
Right. That's it. Hey, Day-Day.
Or get in a conference and play in a title game.
Please, Abe. We're cutting to Day-Day. So go ahead.
You guys are good. Because the Notre Dame thing. No, but because all jokes aside, the Notre Dame thing is serious. Because and I told you guys, I'm a fan of Notre Dame. I grew up loving Notre Dame. Right. But it is to the point in this day and age, I think they got to choose what's more important to them.
Right.
Getting that check. Keeping all the money for TV or getting into a conference and, you know, having legit opportunities to get into these playoffs. One more thing, I should say, and then I got one more thing. But shouts out to Georgia State. I don't know if you guys saw this, but they have gotten the okay for a baseball facility at the iconic site of where Turner Field was, or the old Fulton County Stadium, I should say. They're going to move the Hank Aaron Stadium into this area, and they're going to mark out there in the field, somewhere in the outfield, where the home run 755.
So walk me through this here. Uh-huh. I assume we're keeping Center Park Stadium, obviously. Are we getting rid of the blue lot?
So where the
there?
Parking lot is that they
right
turned
there?
Correct. They're right going to turn Fulton, that into the – and I don't know the last time you've been there. They've actually got, like, the living – they put, like, apartments.
Well, I ran a half marathon there.
Oh, there you go. So it's right behind the apartments where they, like I said, they turned it into the lot there. So just want to give them a shout-out.
Bye-bye green lot. Bye-bye blue lot.
Right. All
we're all getting out of here.
And then the last thing I want to do is give a shout out. Last night, Abe, you and I were talking about this. We both had the Iowa State-Iowa game on.
Sure did.
Want to give a shout out to a local kid, Chazity Wright. She went to Wesleyan. I had the game on. Was kind of watching, but not watching because I was kind of starting my show prep. And she goes by the nickname Chit Chat. And I heard them mention Chit Chat. And I kept thinking to myself, can't be too many Chit Chats playing girls' college, women's college basketball out there. Look
right?
up. And sure enough, it was Chazity Wright. So just wanted to give her a shout out. It's always cool for me because you guys know how I cover high school sports. For me personally, it's always cool when I hear their names mentioned at the next level. So just wanted to throw that out there. That's
cool.
It.
All right, man. Good stuff. We were talking earlier today. The big story in sports is this unfortunate soap opera for Michigan. Again, it's not Shamar Moore. That's SWAT. And again, it's Sharon Moore, the head coach. And, of course, you know, we talked about when you get in trouble, they take the shot you don't want. The video that's now been making the rounds is from a Michigan game where they announced the coach or somewhere, and that is the assistant that he had the alleged affair with is next to him. Very obvious to see because she's got those, you know, Day-Day, it is what it is, the cheap-looking hair extensions. I mean, you can do a better job with that. But, I mean, that stuff is undefeated. And then subsequently, two separate incidents. Michigan fires him for cause. They investigated. You can't have relations with someone on staff. And then by now, you hadn't heard it. He apparently gets into a shouting match with his wife, drives over to the alleged girlfriend's house, threatens to kill himself, holding a knife to his throat. And that's why he was taken in by the police, handed off from one jurisdiction to another in suburban Ann Arbor. So it's just a nightmare for them. And now it's a nightmare for anybody who's got a coach who's doing their job because you're worried about him getting poached by Michigan if you don't have that big buyout. Anyway, that's the big story today. Man, this show's flying.
Yeah.
I stand by my statement. A two-hour show is stealing money. Carl and I used to do five, cinco hours. We're live at Gustin's. We got a full house, man. We got a great crowd over here. These guys are throwing down. We got brewskis going down. We got free stuff. When I was doing my rant about Notre Dame, see the guy in the Miami hat? He's like, hell yeah. He's going nuts. We'll come back. One final look at the Falcons before we turn things over to the Wade Ford Tailgate Show. But since traffic's going to take me 3 hours, Blitz in Ackworth. Show has flown by because it's been 2 hours. That's why it's flown by. It's brought to you by Miller Lite tonight. Get ready for the Falcons, guys. Wade Ford Tailgate Show pregame. Plenty of fun. That we've handicapped the game, guys. If we play to our capabilities, you know, that's one thing, Day-Day. When we're at full strength, we know we can hang with anybody. We've shown that. Beating Buffalo, had enough, I thought, to beat San Fran until the coaches made some mistakes. But when you don't have Drake London and your receiver core is not that great, Mike Johnson had a great phrase on Tuesday when we were up at Flowery Branch. The Falcons' passing game and offense, it's station to station. There is no explosive plays. There's no over the top. We did see Darnell Mooney catch the touchdown 50 yards in the air in New Orleans. So where is that? This knucklehead runs
out of bounds.
He runs out of bounds. But that's why when your season is going the way the Falcons season is going, that's when you see a guy run out of bounds for a touchdown. That's when you see, you know, a missed assignment on special teams. Special teams they've never fixed. I can't imagine, Abe, that they bring Raheem Morris back. Real quick, I want to get your take before we get out of here. Day-Day brought this up a few times in the last few weeks. Coach has been pretty cool with us. Yeah, he gets a little chippy with me because I get chippy with him.
Sure.
But he's had a zen-like sort of peace. Do you think he knows something we don't know? Is there any way in this world that Arthur Blank brings him back because events got beyond his control? Which I would say that's a completely ridiculous argument. They lost this season when they lost five games in a row because they couldn't correct things that were correctable. And the coach, you also hired two rookie coordinators who hadn't done the job, and that's on Raheem Morris.
So let me ask you a question before I answer the question you asked me. Do you think the decision's already been made? Yes, whether or not he's coming back either way. Or is there something that could change in these last four games?
Here's the thing. You've already lost 7 out of 8. What could it possibly mean? So you pull an upset today or against the Rams. What does that possibly mean in the final analysis if you wind up with 6 wins?
So to you're in this stance.
There is no way if I own this team
nothing could change.
That the general manager or the coach could salvage their jobs.
And I'm totally fine with that mindset. I tend to agree, Mike. I think a decision has been made one way or the other. I think that's where the calmness comes from. Either he knows he's coming back and is coaching, you know, with that mentality, or he already knows it's done. And I tend to lean in that manner. I tend to lean in the fact that he already knows he's not going to be brought back. That's why he didn't fire Marquise Williams. That's why he didn't replace Zach Robinson. And to me, that feels a little bit more likely. That's been my theory for a week or two now, is that he's not going to fire Zach Marquise Williams at this point because he knows they're all getting fired. It's not saving his job. It's not a last-ditch effort to be retained. And so Right. Why ruin someone's life a month and a half earlier than you have to? So that's kind of where I stand, is that I do think he knows that it's already over.
Right.
And he's doing his best to rally guys and do what he's paid to do still. But I do think that ultimately they have already told him, you're not going to be retained.
No, I mean, I said this to you a few times last week. It's just, you have a second chance that a lot of folks around the league felt you deserved with your work as a defensive coordinator. And then there's some guys, and I think, you know, we've joked around off the air. We talked about this the other day. You know what the Peter principle is?
What you got?
There was a sociologist in Canada. I learned one of the few things that stuck in my head from Florida State was the Peter principle. You can look it up. It's that basically, let's just say you're in sales. You're a great sales guy. You close every day. You're good at your job. You know what you're not good at? Being a sales manager, running the division, Right. Overseeing other people. You have a specific skill set, like Liam Neeson. I've got a very specific skill set. But what the Peter principle says is, in American business, especially when they were talking about this in the 50s and 60s, people advance beyond their level of competency. So in other words, you're a really good defensive coordinator. You know, for instance, Josh McDaniels is a really good offensive coordinator.
This is Monty Kiffin.
He's not a hedge coach. That's where it's at. You know, Mickey Andrews at Florida State.
Yeah.
You're a great defensive coordinator. Bud Foster at Virginia Tech never wanted to be a head coach because he knew his limitations.
Yeah.
The Peter principle is, when Terry gets a job, I should say when Raheem gets a job as a head coach, he's advanced beyond his level of competency, if you follow that. And that's what I feel has happened.
And I've always used Monty Kiffin as the example in this scenario. I think it's okay to just live your entire life as one of the best defensive coordinators. And if that's all that is there for Raheem, is because he'll get another job. I don't think anyone doubts that. If the best he can do is be a defensive coordinator, I don't think there's any shame in that. But I tend to agree with you. It feels like he's out of his element a little bit. In a moment where you had to hire the right coordinators on both sides of the ball and now on special teams, this team does not have the right coordinators, and it has seriously impacted his ability to be a head coach, not to take away from his other weaknesses, including clock management and some of those decisions.
Our man Abe Gordon, guys, filling in for Carl. Carl's coming back Tuesday. Tomorrow, a special edition of Dukes and Bell. Dave Archer will be live from the Gateway Center. We'll get you ready for some Skyhawks action. It's time to see Carl calling those games on Peachtree TV. So we'll be hanging out with Bryant McFadden. Also, our weekly visit with Steve Coonan. And
Mike Griffith
with the dogs, because we're a little skimpy on time today with a two-hour program. Griffith's take on the draw the Georgia Bulldogs get. What do you think about a rematch with that semifinal from a few years ago with Ohio State? Because I thought Georgia should have advanced to number 2. I know you and I spoke about this on
I would have liked that jump as well, yeah.
On Monday, but it will be Indiana with a much easier, one could argue, path to that championship game. What do you think about Ole Miss and Tulane? We don't need to see that. You know, I was joking around with you the other day. I've seen some of these games. I know the mechanism is in place. But, man, we don't need James Madison and Tulane. They might win one game, but they can't win 3 games against elite teams with more depth. That's what the old argument of Boise State beating Oklahoma, UCF beating Baylor. You know, that can happen, yeah. The little guy can do that every now and again, but you just can't make a consistent run. in a three-game playoff format. You buy that, or is that, you still think the Cinderella story is viable? Like Tulane could play with Ohio State.
I don't think it's any less viable than it is. And I know basketball is a different sport, but is it any less viable? Like, those teams are never winning at all. But to see them get to the Sweet 16 still means something. I think to see any of these, quote, Cinderella group of five teams go up against the big boy, and if this is not, but if they can win, and it's a matter of time, right, Mike?
Right.
It'll happen at some point. You play enough seasons. We've always said a 16 eventually will be to one. Now we've seen it a couple times. It will happen at some point. I don't know if it's Tulane or James Madison this year.
Mm.
But, yeah, I think it's validated. Look, we all know they're going to get more teams in there. At what point do we have the right size? I think that's ultimately going to be the question. At 16 teams this year, we probably feel Texas, Vandy, some
right.
of these teams.
Well, the other thing is, and with Notre Dame, and like we just spent a lot of time last segment with Day-Day talking about the Irish, with Notre Dame bailing out, it's kind of everybody said this was going to happen, and now it's happening. The bowl games are irrelevant. And because
they have been for a while.
You've added, two things can be true. We've added too many bowl games. There's too many nonsense Mickey Mouse bowl games. You're rewarding mediocrity. It's like March Madness. Half of basketball gets in now, practically. But in the case of the bowls, you still have the granddaddy of them all. You still have the big ones. And there's a decent bowl game by where it's at. A good, decent bowl game, a New Year's Day in Jacksonville, like the Gator Bowl or the Citrus Bowl in Orlando. There's a place for those because the alumni want to travel and have a good time. You've got to fold those guys into this process as part of the 16 games.
Yeah.
Or the 16 teams, I should say, in the eight games.
And there's another push that you kind of use the bowl games as spring games and kind of do it in a different part of the calendar, and it doesn't count.
But the thing is, the bowl games just don't matter. When you went to a playoff, if the bowl games are not part of the playoff, they cease to have any, let's be honest, any relevance. That's why with the 16-team format, some of these other ones, with all due respect to the Poinsettia Bowl or the Bahamas Bowl, whatever it is, you're screwed. The Gasparilla Bowl. But the other ones that are still the ones that you recognize as being legitimate, they've got to be a part of this.
But I think you also want some of these games being played at home stadiums. And I think that's the other argument. Would you work it into the bowl system?
You can't have it both ways.
Exactly.
You got to – when you're talking about Ole Miss hosting Tulane,
right.
That's your Citrus Bowl.
Played in the New Orleans Bowl.
Right. Yeah, there you go.
I mean, that'd be an unfair home.
You mean the R&L Carriers Bowl. Hey, man, it is Duke's.
I wrote out the whole bowl schedule. I don't think that exists anymore.
Wow. And Georgia Tech is going to the Pinstripe Bowl?
The Pop-Tarts Bowl.
That's right. Initially, they were linked. The Pop-Tarts Bowl, speaking of bowls.
Although the Pinstripe Bowl is a great game.
I don't care what anybody says.
Penn State Clemson.
People dressed up as Pop-Tarts hopping out of a giant toaster oven. That's pretty cool in my book, man.
It's a little scary when they disappear into the toaster.
The kids got to learn. Pop-Tarts get cooked. You know, it's a good life lesson for the kids. I'm not sure how, but I thought it was. Hey, man, final analysis on the Falcons. Over-under is 44.5 for guys who aren't good at math. That means a 24-21 would put you over. That would be a 25.
The first game was 23-20, if I remember correctly.
And it should have gone to overtime, so there should have been at least six more points.
The number total was right there. The thing I'm looking for here, Mike, is because of the situation with the receiving core and kind of the offense in general, I don't have a lot of confidence that this team can drive up and down the field.
Right.
So what I need is explosives. And you talked about the concern about that with the receiving core. That means Bijan's got to do what he's got to do. And Kyle Pitts as well. We need to find a 50-plus yard touchdown tonight if you're going to want to win. I don't think you're getting these 14-play, 82-yard drives together against what the Buccaneers can do defensively.
Well,
you got to find something from deep range.
Well, that's why last week, or I should say Tuesday, when I asked Coach about expanding Bijan's role, and everybody's laughing. I mean, as a wide receiver.
How much more could you ask him to do?
Well, he had 22 catches plus, six targets is 28. Yep. Okay, I can do that math. Mm-hmm. Use him as a friggin' wide receiver. Use him in the slot. I mean, I'm just saying, everything you just touched on is accurate. If you're looking for a playmaker, Bijan is better than any of your other wide receivers right now.
So would you prefer more Tyler Allgeier carries in?
Yes.
Response with Bijan having potentially
Correct.
More receiving targets.
And again, you could have both guys in the backfield.
Yes.
Look, at the end of the day, Zach Robinson doesn't understand how to mesh the run game with the pass game. He just told you last week in the press conference, I ran the third down plays for the Rams. How about the first and the second downs? You work on those? Because you kind of need all three to make it happen. I'm so disappointed with the direction of this season. The Penix Jr. thing with the injury, we thought we had a built-in, let's be honest, we thought we had the built-in cushion with Kirk Cousins here. And then Murphy's Law, we get the injuries of the wide receivers because Kirk gets Pitts involved. He has shown the ability to get Mooney involved.
Yeah, I actually think Kirk has been fine, but he's not the story right
now. They're not catching the passes. They're not getting open, and when they do, they don't catch it.
Well, the other problem for me, Mike, is with the season gone, the playoffs gone, I don't really care what Kirk looks like. This would be a great time to see Michael Penix and see him develop and hopefully gain some optimism for next season, and he's injured. We don't need to get that.
It's not a knock at Michael Penix Jr. It's just we don't – when you say you don't know what he is –
I don't. No one can argue that they do.
I'd like to be able to say he'll come back from the injury. That's why you don't draft a guy who's had a history of knee injuries out of college. That's why you don't do that. Anyway, Day-Day, you were going
to
say something?
Yeah, just wanted to give you guys an update. Looks like Jeremy Fowler is reporting that Mike Evans will play tonight.
Yeah.
He won't be in every down, but he will be in on key ones.
So Egbuka, Godwin, and Mike Evans, who they started with.
And potentially Jalen
McMillan.
Right.
Yeah,
Otten is still out, though. Kate Otten, the tight end, is still out.
I believe Kate Otten is still out, yes.
Yeah, he had a couple of catches last year in their game down in Tampa Bay. By the way, real quick, it's throwbacks. I know it's kind of like a rapid fire, but just amongst the three of us, I love Buccaneer Bruce and the Creamsicles. I want to see the old Dolphins logo come back. What's your favorite old school logo? You got any favorite throwback in all sports?
Ooh.
I also want the Washington Bullets back. Hey, man, they cleaned up the crime rate, did they? They can be the Bullets again.
Yeah, let's just leave that where it is.
The Wizards is so weak. The Washington Wizards is so weak. It's like when Metalark Lemon had, like, his Metalark's like Bucketeers. No, you're the Globetrotters or you're not.
So for me, it's actually the Hartford Whalers. Living in Connecticut, even though I was more west and closer to New York and Jersey, that was the only professional team we had in the state. So that's who it
was. Which Rose, Abe? You got one?
Yeah.
I love the Chargers powder blue, but they still wear those. Those are tight.
Is it the Patriots Pat logo where he's kind of in the old
hiking,
old getup, hiking the football? I like that logo.
My
man.
Favorite is one you don't. It doesn't mean anything in Tennessee.
The old Pat Patriot, right?
No,
there.
It's the Houston Oilers.
Yeah,
Houston.
That one's good too.
I love the Oilers and the Dolphins. That'd be my tie right there, man. There you go. And the Braves wearing the 74 era Hank Aaron. Yeah. I'd love to see the Braves go when they were honoring Hank. Remember that? I wish they kept that as the home jersey, man. I thought that was super tight. Hey, man, thanks to Oren back at the ranch for pressing the buttons. Tomorrow, guys, down at Gateway Center. If you don't have tickets, come see Arch. It's worth the price of admission. Get those tickets and watch us. We'll be there at 6:30. Mike Griffith's going to join us talking dogs. Also, Steve Coonan with the Hawks. And, of course, our weekly visit with Bryant McFadden. AFC is wide open. The Rams look like sort of the cream of the crop after bouncing back from that embarrassing loss in Carolina. We'll talk NFL with him. And thanks to everybody who showed up at Gustin's. Look at this crowd. And thanks for you guys having a woman at the table. It's a damn sausage fest in here. So come on down. They'll be rolling with Miller Lite for a while. But I'm saying, Mick, next time bring some women, for God's sakes. You're from Australia. Use your accent. Where's your pride? Let's get the heck out of here. Day-Day, let's clear our throats. Day-Day, you get to clear your throat because you were part of the show today, man. Throw your 2 cents worth in.
Oh, wow. I wasn't expecting that. Hey. But I will say this. Listen, whatever is going to happen at the end of the season with our Atlanta Falcons, I know it's very frustrating to have gone through the year that we've gone through. But a true fan base, we're going to have to stick with it regardless and just see how this thing turns out. Don't quit on this team.
Can I list my tickets?
Don't list your tickets.
Abe Gordon, clear your throat.
Bowl season starts on Saturday. You got two bowls, the L.A. Bowl and the Veterans Bowl. Shouldn't be happening. Saturday should be about Army-Navy followed by the Heisman. Keep Army-Navy as a standalone game. That didn't happen this year. Needs to happen from now on.
Hey, man, started the show talking about it with Michigan. They sandwiched a national championship with two of the most embarrassing situations we've seen in recent college football history. The cheating situation with Connor Stallions, the NCAA kind of giving a slap on the wrist, and now just unfortunately a tragic story about human frailty with Sharon Moore getting got and subsequently now still in jail. But this doesn't happen in the SEC. Last time I checked, you know, we're supposed to be all about football and paying people and blah, blah, blah. Michigan, shame on you guys. You look down your nose at everybody. Get your own house in order. Abe, if you love the show,
you tell your friends.
If you don't,
you're just another member of the guys only table.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered. It's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing, even when I don't. And I like the sound of starting my own business, Walton Goggins Goggle Glasses. But I'm an actor. I don't know what I'm doing. I needed help. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. I didn't even realize I needed a social media calendar. GoDaddy Aero will take your idea that sounds good and make a business that looks like you know what you're doing. GoDaddy Aero can get your business up and running in minutes. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like a plan. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.